forever. Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser.
Race Chaser.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello. I'm Willem the Wiggled.
God bless the gays.
From here, we
are here.
I should
have been born one myself.
Can you go down on that? Yeah, I can go down on that.
God bless the children.
Okay.
So last week, all of our
tell me what
sisters,
happened last week. Tell me something happened last.
They
week.
Had to create a high-end product, an infomercial for a new lifestyle brand, Droop. And the green screen commercials were directed by acclaimed comedy and drag queen expert Bob Harper.
Not acclaimed comedy.
Well, okay. You know, she's got accreditations, I'm sure, from somewhere. She didn't exactly understand Jackie's AV 101 cinematography tricks, but I mean, he caught up by the end.
I just don't get it. Like, what are you doing? I just don't get it. Okay.
The next day, the girls did their best dragula runway, and Heidi won, and Jan hit the house, and Widow lived to see another lip sync for her life.
Yes.
Oh, and Chaka Khan learned what a merkin was, too.
She was just learning things left and right.
What's a merkin?
Somebody tell me.
It's a pubic.
We have a beautiful...
For your genitals.
We have a beautiful lipstick message from Jan that says, I'm so happy I get to share this experience with y'all. Stay humble, grateful, and remember, you're at RuPaul's Drag Race! I love you! Jan!
I like that they show Jan being so super duper excited, like a super cut of it, like her walk-ins and just skipping and jumping and like being joyful, like she just got bred by 18 guys on Pride.
Yeah, like this was the nicest edit Jan got the whole season, was the day she left. I mean, it was literally like, oh, how charming. And she's extra and she's enthusiastic, like terminally delightful. And we love this about her. It was the nicest Jan supercut I've seen in a while.
Deep salute. Stay humble. Stay grateful.
Salute. Salute.
Stay home.
A theory that is on the internet.
That there's going to be no more gigs ever except for...
Oh my god, all that.
The theory is that on Jan's Whatcha Packin', her and Michelle only talked about fashions that she already wore, that we had seen. And normally on Whatcha Packin', you bring clothes we didn't get to see. So a lot of people think Jan is going to reappear.
She's gonna
conjecture.
On this season?
That's what the bubblings and the whisperings are about.
I mean, I personally only like to lose once per season. And I don't think she's winning this season at this point now. I think we know it's down to a couple few. So I say, girl, just wait till All Stars and then we'll see you then. Or who knows? Stephanie's Child could go back on AGT and kick some ass.
Right. I mean, you never know. The world of RuPaul's Drag Race is a land of mystery and surprise. And I have a feeling we haven't seen the last.
You haven't seen the last of
Jayon. Oh, no. Jada said that if a robot, a Barbie, and a cheerleader all had an orgy, they would basically be Jan. And I don't think she's wrong in the least.
That is correct. And she should put that on her job resume.
I see that in a second. I can't wait to see her on the road, mostly because I told Vincent that if Stephanie's Child needs a backup girl, I could step in. I've done some girl group things.
You'd be the input hoe for Steph's Child?
I would not mind being an input hoe at all for the
games. This is between all of you.
This is none of my affair.
I don't want to be around this. I'm just breaking into this business.
This is between all of you. This is none of my affair.
Well, it's between me two. Jan got on Drag Race, but I auditioned 5 times and she did it.
How much has Laguna Blue have to put out to get in? Rosé too.
Listen to me, you missed 6% off the show on season 12.
We could do this all day. Maybe we should just have another podcast where we scatagalorically, musically improv each other.
Yes.
That could work for like 10 minutes.
They need to get on a Zoom call and recreate that scene. Steph's child. They need to do it right now. And then Widow can come on there too.
Widow can be Michelle, the new girl.
So Heidi is a thousandaire now, and she won $5,000,
which is crazy because she made $9,000 the year before on her tax return, she said. So she's already doubled her net worth.
It's going to be a big year for her. It's going to be a red letter year.
RuPaul's Drag Race? No, a black. She's in the black, not the red.
Okay, yes.
I don't know if you can have a black letter year, though. Most calendars are already printed in black, so.
Girl.
Girl, what did that girl just say?
We'd like to take a minute to talk to you about black letter. Okay.
Black letter is the only custom calligraphy.
Calligraphy. Gigi has never had negative critiques before, and she's very shaken by this development.
I understand where she's coming from. I only had one note my whole season. One and a half.
Yeah, but, you were one note. I'm just kidding.
Oh, had to go back twice to win. Sorry.
The setup was too good. You get it.
You're welcome. The next day.
Anyway,
Heidi Nina Closet is now Heidi Hydrates. She's officially changed her name for this episode. She submitted all the necessary paperwork and a stool sample.
Honey, she has more pseudonyms than Sherry Pie.
The secret of Sherry Pie's got the secret of pseudonym.
Secret celebrity drag race. Okay.
You know, wait. I found out what the secret was, that some of those people were celebrities because I didn't know who the fuck they were.
All right. We'll get to it.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
Girl, this is the most screen time Sherry has had this season. Just a little bit of shit talking. She's like, well, you've been flatlining, mother.
Do you think that in the room they were joking around? Because it's very just...
Well, Widow ain't joking, that's for sure, by the looks of her face. But they probably said, girls, why don't you talk about blah, blah, blah? Who was in the top and who was in the bottom? And Sherry came out the side of her mouth with that.
She came out the complete side of her head.
Yeah.
But you know what? RuPaul comes in the workroom. Look at that door squeak. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I need some WD-40 on that. So RuPaul announces that the mini challenge says America's next drag superstar needs to make sure her pussy is on fire 24/7. So for the mini challenge, you'll be auditioning for the title of Kitty Girl 2020, sponsored by prettylitter.com, the health monitoring cat litter.
Wow.
And how wonderful. It seems that they work with Violet Chachki as well. So
is that true or is that a read?
No, she posted a sponsored pic of her and her hairless cat. She's like pouring kitty litter up in full guiche. It's on her Instagram.
That's elegant. I mean, only Violet Chachki can literally make cat litter seem sexy.
Yeah.
Like, really, she's that woman. So the divas get 20 minutes and they get into quick cat drag. And then they have to just walk around with an oversized litter box and talk to RuPaul and just sort of riff and make up scenes. And some of the cat costumes are really great. Do you think they were...
I think the girls thought it was a runway, probably.
But
some, you know, they tell you to bring whatever. This could have been something. Who knows?
They did a cat runway on All Stars.
Did they?
Yes, because Trinity the Tuck and...
She had that tail, right?
Yeah. That was like a cat-themed runway, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, but some of their fucking looks are not messing around.
Some of them are boo-boo, though. Some of them look like mini challenge looks that they threw together.
Right. Like, some girls are mini challenge down. Yeah. Some girls are, like, custom couture, running the runway, like, Violet.
I mean, Gigi is totally a fashion cat.
She is.
Jada's like a pole dancer on a scratching post. They all have cat elements combined with either goofball or slut. And it kind of works like that.
Yeah. Jackie is giving us full Eartha Kitt moment.
Which is wonderful. Just concept comes in, delivers.
Yeah. And you can, like, she gets a very long scene and it's all good stuff. So, like, I was like, she's winning this challenge. Hands,
Jackie, can you do, pause, can you do that one more time without RuPaul laughing?
Right. Yeah. It's, no, it's, can't do it. Can't be done.
All that. Yeah. Crystal is mad cat, but Jackie definitely wins.
I thought Gigi did well, though, as an honorable mention, because she sort of embodied how cats are. And if you
aloof, yeah,
just like couldn't give a fuck about human beings.
It seems like Gigi does really well when she intones that, like, she's, you know, distant and cold. The robot, the this. Yeah. And, you know, blasé works for some girls, especially when you're pretty.
Know your brand and deliver at all times. That's what we always say.
Yeah, I totally. Mm-hmm. I was going to start talking about this. All these guys that died at this brothel in Chicago. And I don't know how it related, but it had something to do with Gigi in my head. Oh, because. Never mind. Yeah, she looked like the Quaker Oats guy on the oatmeal thing. And then I was thinking about Nabisco, which one of the heirs died at a whorehouse in Chicago. And Nabisco was actually the National Biscuit Company, but they shortened it into Nabisco. And that was fascinating to me. I just love an acronym.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Two different guys died.
I don't love that.
When?
In 1905, at this brothel in Chicago, they were competing brothels, the Everly, and then one was called Miss Vicks or something, Madam Vicks. And then this guy died there, and then they tried to take him back to the other brothel where he just got kicked out for shooting up. But the one brothel let you shoot up, but the other one didn't. But when he died, they were like, well, we'll take him back to the other one. And then they didn't report it for like 8 hours. It was a problem, but that was 1905. We're past it.
Wow.
This but Jackie is... Cox won $2,500 from Fierce Drag Jewel.
Girl, you know, that is a cute gift card.
That's the necklace. That's the brooch. That's the earrings. That
Get
might
a whole
be a,
set.
A ring.
Get a couple Ooh. Whole sets, Diva.
They what do... about a belly chain?
Oh, please. Body jewels.
Uh-huh.
Body
for
jewelry.
Sure.
I love Fierce Drag Jewels. And
they are fierce.
Why don't we go play in our jewelry while we take a break?
Ooh, will you give me a buckle?
Yeah.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Drag.
Ooh. Your AB crystals are blinding me.
They are. They are. They are crystal. They are not. They are not plastic. They are not glass. They are actual crystal.
Crystal.
They are crystal. I'll show you the crystal method. For the maxi challenge this week,
this is the third one that they've done.
What?
Miss Third Presidential Debate.
Oh, yes. The America's first drag queen president.
Yes.
The queens will be speaking at Choices 2020, the most fabulous presidential debate in history. Each queen presents their platform and answers questions from the press. No drag issue is off the table. So wait, they did this obviously in season 4. Where else did they do it?
Season 8, I think on the Bob Kimchi Naomi season, I feel like. Or maybe it was Monet.
Was it a presidential debate?
Yeah, they do it every election year. They do a presidential thing. It was 2016, so whatever year that was.
I wish someone...
Oh, they did infomercials. Yes, they did infomercials for their platform.
Oh, like political ads.
Remember Thorgy was in it, I think? Thorgy killed it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
deep cut, good man.
Well, I'm a viewer and a fan.
I'm not just
a loser from the show.
If you did a podcast with all of your knowledge, I would listen because I just wish I knew those types of facts. RuPaul comes in the workroom with her political advisoress, Raven. Someone tweeted a picture of the two of them and said, "This is Snoop Dogg and Katy Perry on the set of California Girls."
Basically,
Raven's giving us that moment
for sure. For sure, that blunt cut bang.
So
every
blunt.
Girl should have a wig like that in her closet.
So blunt. Everyone needs that bang that you can just throw on.
No lace, no fuss. The first stop on the RuPaul train is to Heidi. And it's basically a job fair for Heidi. Ru and Raven are just spitballing all these great ideas off of her. And Heidi's writing them down. They don't show Heidi repeating them all for the challenge, but she would be an idiot not to, because there's some gold from Raven, like, fuck the GOP, get into the GAP.
Yeah.
Like,
so funny.
These girls are, she's being delivered the challenge on a platter.
Well, but I think that speaks to Heidi's personality, in that she just is sort of like an open conduit that makes RuPaul want to go down this, you know, path with her. So,
well, can she do it, or can't she though? We'll see in this challenge.
Exactly.
Rue and Raven go over to Gigi and tell her to make it stupid and to do what she knows, which is fashion.
Yeah. Know who you are and deliver at all times.
Yeah. There's no, I understand your concern, but do not share them. But Gigi just keeps nodding and getting back to work, doing her thing.
Yeah. Rue and Raven tell Widow that you're taking it really seriously and stop wearing biscuit kickers.
Well, Raven says stop wearing biscuit kickers. I don't know if Rue does. But I'm wondering, like, you know, Widow killed it in that lip sync, in that dance. Was she wearing biscuit kickers then?
Yeah, she always wears a sensible heel height. And I am not mad at her for that.
How wonderful.
I stand by it for skeletal health. Aesthetic of it. I like the functionality of it. You can dance, you can move. You're not in pain. I don't think drag should equate pain.
I could stand by it too, but I'd probably need a step stool because I'm so short if I'm wearing shoes like that. Like, I like being taller than people. I like them to see my ponytail 8 feet in the air.
You are so petite. They named Gaga's documentary 5'2". They named it after you.
Thank you so much. Jada would also not debate. She would argue that is a true fact, because I am very slender and petite.
So tiny.
Right now I'm a petito, which is like a petite potato.
Look at that.
What are we looking at?
What are we looking at? Is that a girl from the 1905 brothel? Oh,
that's you looking stunning and petite.
Oh, Suck Less Face and Body, the new campaign.
Ooh, yes. Get into it, mommy.
I almost got peeking.
Oh my gosh, I'm peeking. You piqued my interest. I can't wait to check out your new line.
Jada's peeking RuPaul and Raven's interest. She basically is just like kikiing with them. And she says, I do not debate. She argues.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody outspoken is going to be good at one of these challenges.
Yeah.
And Jada certainly is.
Yeah. She knows her strengths and she knows that she's like good at, you know, getting into an argument. So she does that. Jackie is Canadian. And in the States, she's in the United States on a green card, so she can't vote, even though she is politically minded. And RuPaul loves calling her Jay Cox.
It's the season of the names this year.
Yeah.
Raven gets to meet the mullet, which is known as Crystal Method. And she asks Crystal, what is the Crystal Method? And it's just like, it's not even like a, let me try to pick something up. It's just crickets. Or maybe that's what they cut to. But it seems like some of the girls haven't asked themselves the obvious question for this challenge, which is, who am I? What am I? Like the who, what, where, why of the campaign. Like those are all the answers you always need for any mini challenge.
What is your crystal method? Do you prefer a light bulb, tinfoil, glass
dick? No, I slam it. Slam it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, slam it.
This is a very inappropriate conversation.
You ever been a slammer?
We do not condone the use of ice.
I like to whip, then slam.
That literally matched up with you blowing your ponytail up. He pressed the sound effect and you blew your ponytail and it went whoosh.
Well, how wonderful that I'm in such high horrifalutin drag for everyone to see.
That was cinematic.
On the patreon.com/Willem/drag/helixmattress.
I would pay top dollar for that one.
Numbers.
Well, the next day we have some mirror chats. And, you know, when politics are involved, the emotions can come out. Crystal reveals that her parents voted for Trump and they still stand by their vote. And it becomes a very, I mean, it's a huge point of tension in her family and a lot of people's families.
Yeah. My family is lucky enough to have blue people in it mostly. But I found out my brother-in-law voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And I just asked him and he said, yeah. And I was like, okay, that's all I needed to know, you know, because that just tells me what somebody really thinks. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
But yeah, it's such an interesting topic to discuss. Never.
Yeah.
You support hatred. How wonderful.
Yeah, I love that for you. How are the markets?
I totally understand though, like, not wanting to give up your family just because they don't agree with you or align with you politically. Like, there's still, like, a lot of love there and stuff. Like, a lot of my aunts in Philly, including, like, my drag idol, she voted for Trump. And, like, I just avoid it. Because I'm like, let's just keep it light, keep it shallow, keep it fun. Because if I delve in with these people, it's going to be, like, banging my head against a wall.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting.
Which I usually like to get banged against the wall by heads. Or tails.
Yeah. Jackie also tells her story about how the travel ban has directly affected her family. And her aunt isn't able to come to the United States to take care of her sister. And this is like a real way that these things are affecting people. It's just one of countless examples. And it's really sad.
I like how they're bringing it up though at this whole like roundtable thing, because it's like all about everybody's family and like the shit that they've gone through. They're trying to fuck up everybody's makeup this time. Widow's talking about the racism and homophobia in Missouri and like how she's like just scared for her life on the regular in her hometown.
Yeah, girl, that's real. And this is something I love about RuPaul's Drag Race, is that it can go from uproariously funny and stupid to just like you're crying your eyes out and you're talking about really real shit. So it can do these 180 turns and get all of this stuff into an episode. And I think it's a testament to why it's like important, and it's an important phenomenon that's on television right now.
Yeah. Hey, get out of that litter box and let's discuss how your IBS and terrorism has changed your life.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a real thing. It's that show. I agree. It's like the Golden Girls. Like they can be like making fucking dick jokes and then all of a sudden you're like crying because they're talking about like homelessness or abortion or like any of these things.
Is this Dracula or Drag Race? No, I'm kidding. They do their makeup with abortions over there.
Homelessness and abortions. That's the next Dracula runway theme.
Israel's down in the basement giving abortions.
Oh my absolute heavens. Well,
speaking of heaven, I have seen an angel and her name is RuPaul this week. She's in teal and gold and this Greek goddess look and the headband and the hair. It's everything.
Yeah. Mother is looking resplendisha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was this the bi-color gown? One half was goldish, one half was greenish. Mm-hmm. I thought that the bust line could have been a little lower, just a nitpick because RuPaul doesn't like me. just a little lower in the cleavage. It looked like it was tack closed to hold her mic or something. Or, you know, maybe she's just modest now in her 60s. But I think that it could have gone with a little more décolletage from Mother. She's alive. She's vibrant.
A little more of the Taj.
She's red hot.
Yeah, totally red hot. Michelle is... Do you think she was not there and had to miss an episode and so they pre-recorded these bits?
I think she's on a work release program from RuPaul. RuPaul's lending her to other drag queens around the world. So
she was in
Europe for a little bit working for Mary Mack, I think.
What?
Yeah, Rue's lending her out now.
Well, she's reporting from downtown Tuckahoe with a Brock ally by her side.
Oh, my God. Dahlia Sin's in there. And honestly, there's a video that went around the group text this morning of the movie Downfall, which has the character of Hitler in his bunker screaming about losing the war and anything, but they've replaced it with him being a Dahlia Sin stan and just screaming about broccoli and how she deserves better and how she deserves the crown. And it's really, really funny.
It's very funny. I was cracking up watching that.
Courtney Act sent it to us and don't doubt that doll. She'll bring it to you every time. Hello, yeah. Courtney.
Was anyone else thrown by the format of this episode? Because they do RuPaul's runway like really early in the episode. Did you notice, Willow?
Yeah, because then they had to do the challenge after that, basically.
Right, which usually they do the challenge and then we go to runway day. But this was sort of like, this was just a little bit shuffled around. I was like, whoa, this is a fast episode, bro. And then Celebrity came on, and I didn't say that. But
slow your roll, Paul.
The judges are Carson Kressley, Rachel Bloom, and Jeff Goldblum. Bloom just for you.
Did they do that on purpose, you think? Double blooms?
Why not? I think it's funny and cute.
Yeah. I think that they did this on the same day. What about you?
Well, they were getting ready in mirror chats, but they came in the next day. So I think they did the debate and the runway on the same day. So
and where could they ever get footage of the girls coming in the workroom to fool us with the time of events?
They're wearing the clothes that they're wearing. Like, I think they did the cat thing. And then maybe they had a writing session and then they were like, okay, you're going to come in tomorrow. You're going to do the debate and then the runway. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Ours were always usually like, you're going to, if it wasn't like a performance thing, it was usually like next day too.
Yeah.
You're going to write, you're going to work on your costume, you're going to do this, blah, 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 and then perform the next day. But if it was something like that involved just like a camera and a playback, like with the infomercials or something, that was done day of, and then the next day was just like mirror chat and runway.
Yeah, that's usually how it's done, but I guess it's different each time. And I wonder how the judges and everyone saw the debate happen, because there wouldn't be time to like show and edit. They must have just been there to witness the whole thing.
I mean, they definitely could get an edit done overnight. They edited our infomercials overnight. My season, it's, you know, they got
no,
they got,
but it wasn't overnight. I think they did the debate and then flipped their makeup and then did the runway.
Oh damn!
Maybe Rue was watching a stream while Raven was painting her, you know, in the other room or whatever, and then they did the runway.
Yeah,
because Rue wasn't there at the debate.
That's
but
true.
It's like, but she did know everything about it, or yeah, at least not about it, like she did.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break and then we'll get into the divas.
Oh, okay. The girls want a break too. We should give them one.
Okay. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. So what are the divas stumps all about?
The girls do.
Well, we need someone to do an updo.
There's not.
That's from a political challenge.
Put the Capitol in an updo.
Do paint the White House pink. Sherry's motto is "Force Feed America."
All right, but will you do your Katharine Hepburn for us?
I
will. Listen, okay, you know, it's not, if the guest judge who hasn't seen you do Katharine Hepburn before asks you to give us a little Katharine Hepburn.
Mm-hmm. You give her a little Katharine Hepburn. You give her
a little bit of Katharine Hepburn.
You give her a taste.
Because that you would be remiss not to.
I mean, if Pamela Anderson wants to know where my shoes are from, I'm going to tell her.
Exactly.
Even if I've already told everyone else in the room.
Someone's going off script. Crystal is all about business in the front, party in the back.
Heidi.
Embracing the melee.
Heidi is about bridging the gap.
Don't bridge it. I want her to keep that gap.
Yeah, swim it.
If she comes back for All Starz with fucking a set of fucking giant straight no gap teeth, I'm gonna be deeply upset.
I don't think that she'd be able to do her little S thing that's so funny and cute if she filled that in.
Widow is shablamming for America.
Jackie is Canadian, but if you need more cocks in your life, she's the girl to talk to.
That's funny. Gigi is a fashion icon and a human girl, not a robot.
Is she a robot?
And Jada is confused for the bitches.
Jada has the best line in the debate. She'd like to retattle the retittle of the rebuttal.
Yes.
And just her off the cuffs, the look over there, like yes, that, it made me want to look, and I was watching at home on a couch. And then the second time the bitch pulled it, it happened again. I said, God damn it, this girl got me twice.
Yeah, she got you, Gail.
She is so funny.
They got me, Gail. Let's see.
Did you think Jackie's Canadian joke was a little repetitive? Was it worth the funny for all the repetitiveness?
It was a little bit. I mean, it was repetitive, but I thought each joke was funny. I was never like, oh, that's a groaner. That doesn't make sense. I thought that she was prepared. She had an answer for everything that was Canadian themed, and that was her theme. So I felt like it was a little bit of the like Trixie Mattel as RuPaul thing, where it's like, where if you're over prepared, then you're not responding in the moment.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of scripting going on for sure.
Which is great. Like, she was very prepared and her jokes were really funny. But where Jada, I think, excelled was like she was just sort of like improv, like invested in this moment, responding to what is throwing at her, not thinking about what the next joke is.
She does get red for her beard, too. Widow says, if you can't win the war on your beard, how do you expect to win the war at home? And I saw Jackie's beard once a little bit, but all you got to do is see it once, and it is a joke the rest of your life. Let me tell you that.
Do you feel triggered?
I don't feel triggered at all because I know how I look.
Do you feel jealous that there's another beard girl in town?
Jealousy is just a mixture of love and hate at the same time.
The beard girl is here. I'm the beard girl. Beard girl's here.
If you got
bitch.
I have a shirt that says Fear the Beard on Drag Queen merch if everybody wants to check that out. We know who the first beard girl was, and someone will probably write in and tell us because it's probably not me and I just made that up and was probably wrong. I'm sure there was another girl whose beard was out before me on Drag Race.
Jade on season one was the dick girl, so I mean, we all have heard of this. She walked so we could run, you know what I'm saying?
Well, she walked because she would have tripped on that big dick. She tried to run, it would have been jump rope, bitch. That dick is huge. I need to call her back, by the way. She called me and I forgot. God damn it. Hi, Jade.
Hopscotch.
Hop schlong.
I felt like Gigi was sort of in the middle. I felt like she was she could have gone with the robot thing. I wouldn't have been mad at that. Because why not? Yes, she played a robot before, but I think like she could have, if she committed fully to like, I'm a robot masquerading as a human being, a politician. That's funny to me. That's like Men in Black kind of like.
I mean, her robot thing was so funny in Snatch Game that if she just did the exact same thing and made it like a returning character throughout the whole season, that would have been amazing. But this felt like a half-assed version of that kind of, or not half-assed, a modulated version for this challenge. And I just wish she would have went all the way, torn off her wig or had it fall off and be bald under it or like a computer chip or something.
Yeah, circuitry underneath. Very Futurama.
I think that these political challenges are best done when, you know, you throw it all out the window like how Chad or Jada does. That's my preference because I always like to laugh. But I listened to another recap show, Bob's recap show, with I think like Detox and Katya. I forget who was on it. But he was saying that his favorite was Widow, and he thought that she was going to win, especially after she came out on the runway, which we're about to get to. And I didn't find Widow funny enough. Like, the thing about the beard was hilarious, but, like, it wasn't a funny performance. You know what I mean? Other girls made me laugh a lot more, even if she did say funny stuff. And I do stan Widow. We love her.
Yeah.
But it's getting down to nitpicks.
I thought them critiquing her look in the debate was like, why? I thought her look was one of the strongest ones. It was very Hillary Clinton. It was very like, her look was correct. And a lot of her delivery was really great. But you know, someone has to be in the bottom.
Close. Hers was really great, but a lot of girls were amazing too. So I think that's just why the cookie crumbled how it did. But this runway, this Stars and Stripes Forever,
ooh,
bitch,
yes,
it's about to turn it. What would you have done for Stars and Stripes?
Well, I don't know. I haven't given any thought. I mean, I kind of did it with the
oh, yeah, you did with the pants and the little Dolly Parton wig and the wife beater.
Yeah. The tank top I borrowed from Roxy Andrews.
You did that.
The tank top of ever giving immunity. Well, let's watch the runway and give our reactions.
First up, Crystal Method. And she comes pumping down, looking like a thrift store mannequin, all chic and coutured, but all like secondhand, and it looks really great.
I liked this. I liked it a lot. And
me too.
I think it is all separates, and it's all, you can sort of see where the stuff came from, but I'm not mad at that because I especially on like an original season of Drag Race, I don't think it should be mandatory that everything is custom couture everything is. I love that there's a space for that, but there's also a space for like inventiveness and like, can I throw some fucking shit on shit and make a cohesive look?
Yeah.
I think there's a space for that.
Crystal's been doing that all season. And yeah. So is Jada. But next we have Heidi in this little sequin showgirl looking look. I love this one. This is the best she's looked, I think.
Yeah, she looks lovely. And something about this hair style reference gives me Americana for some reason. Like majorette, like mm-hmm. suffragette. I don't know. So I like it. And
very girl on the side of the plane. Very that. And
very
she,
boogie woogie bugle boy.
She looks yeah. her age too, which I like. She looks young. She looks fresh.
Yes. Very lovely. Widow is giving us Black Panther. She's giving us Afro hair, black and white stripes and stars, which I think is a strong interpretation. She had a point of view and she said, I know everyone's going to do red, white, and blue, and I'm going to do fucking black America, black pride. And I love it.
I love this because the stars are constructed so well that they're stars from the back and the front. And the eyebrow has glitter, the lip has glitter, the fro has glitter. I think this is probably one of her strongest runways so far that we've seen.
And those stars just come off too, like they're removable.
Oh yeah, yeah. She just ditched them, Velcro or something.
It's really fierce, really fun to and a great interpretation.
Sherry comes out looking like Kesha and Misty Violet. It's this denim Americana thing with big hair, and I could definitely see myself in it for sure. It's a little Hedwig, yeah. too. It's very Hedwig.
Yeah, that was my first interpretation. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting way to go. I could see you wearing that, too. You are that denim diva. Denim doll.
I could see me taking it off, also.
yeah, it's good. Yeah. Jackie is giving us kaftan and hijab.
Mm-hmm. 50 stars.
Yeah.
I like that she went for it. I wish there was a couple tricks in it, like a slit or something, but that probably wouldn't have been, you know, okay with disrespecting a religious outfit. Wait, I have a question about this outfit. Am I allowed to ask? Like, the hijab is like someone wrote into Twitter to yell their
Jeff
opinion.
Goldblum.
Yell their opinion in a form of a question at us to talk about how the hijab is a sign of female oppression and it shouldn't have, all that kind of stuff. But I was just like, she's trying to bring something different to the runway. Just let her, you know, if she wants to wear something that's plain, let her, you know?
Yeah.
It's got a message and she's doing what she wants to do, but like,
maybe we could talk about it a little more when we get into the critiques, because that whole Jeff Goldblum thing is like kind of a hot button thing and I would like to talk more about
sure,
it.
Sure, let's do it.
The next on the runway, we have Gigi Lavangi Good.
And she is. Good she is. She does this Yankee Doodle Dandy, Quaker Oat, tri-corner hat and feather thing. I'm not mad at it. And a little French pussy slit, that high-cut French cut.
Yeah, I mean, everything is tailored down to perfection. She looks fierce. She looks great. It's an unusual interpretation. It's original. It's fierce. It's very her.
And we're going to post a side-by-side on Race Chaser Pod of me and my marching band outfit and Gigi Good, so we know where she got it. The little thief.
She definitely.
I'm a fighting Minuteman, bitch.
She definitely referenced.
She referenced heavily. I'm
pretty sure.
I should be in the syllabus. That's how heavily she referenced.
Syllabus? Is that like the bang bus? Okay. Jada is last on the runway, but I mean, she's first in our hearts. Wonder Woman, warrior, fucking superhero.
Hoochie coochie Americana picnic slut performer. I love this outfit. This could go for Pride. This could go for 4th of July. This could go for Memorial Day, Labor Day, Flag Day. This outfit is a salute.
It's drag excellence. And it achieves multiple things because, first of all, it fits the prompt perfectly. It's sexy and fashion, but it's also humor and camp. And she's just sort of, and also the hair details, like the three little pieces of red, white, and blue curl right in the front.
Yeah.
It's all, it's very camp. It's hilarious. It has a point of view, but it's also like sexy. Like she's giving like body and fierceness at the same time. She ticks every box with me with this fucking runway. And I think the runway is really what put her over the top mm-hmm. for the win.
I mean, if you had to check for ticks in her hair, that would take weeks. That is a lot of hair. But I mean, I wouldn't keep
going
the ticks
in the fire island in the meat rack.
Girl, don't keep the ticks in a box. Put them in a bag. These judges are reviewing the girls, and they finally call Sherry out for doing her old lady thing a little bit too much. And Rue just basically says, it's just getting a little tired.
Don't pretend to be a woman on the main stage and challenges.
Don't
and
do
emails.
It.
Emails. Just don't do it, Sherry.
I was like, what is this? Okay. Crystal, she gets praise for her debate challenge. But Carson says that the outfit is a little too much, which I'm sorry. I think the outfit is perfect.
Too much?
Too much for drag queens.
The outfit was styling perfection. I don't agree with his critique. I think it's very her, and I think that, but it's a different side of her. She's not giving us the same thing every week. I loved it. I disagree with Carson. I'm sorry.
Me too. I'm not sorry that I disagree with him. She is
your queer eye was clouded this week, Carson. I'm sorry.
She better get that queer eye checked for cataracts.
There it is.
Maybe she could bring in her Emmy and put it next to Rue's. The thing that I like is the hodgepodge-ness of her whole outfit, but it's still like pretty face.
She gets praise for her debate performance as well, which I thought it was. It was like on the mark. It wasn't necessarily groundbreaking or hilarious, but it was drag and she did that.
Yeah, she kept it light fun and I think they recognized that.
Yeah. Heidi, they love her look on the runway and they loved her debate performance. Myself, I felt like we didn't really see Heidi in the debate very much. I felt like she was giving a lot of like pulling faces and stuff, which is cool, but content wise, it was very Heidi light.
It was definitely Heidi light. Widow seems to be putting herself through it because she's just working very hard and the results aren't in her favor. And the judges are telling her that they think she's sabotaging herself with overthinking and not being fun. But the last thing someone does when you tell them just have fun with it is usually have fun because they're worried. And Widow's also been in the bottom how many times? Two times now at this point? Three?
I think three.
This is her third.
So I think by this point, Widow is seeing the writing on the wall. I mean, and it's also something that you can't talk about because it's addressing production. So you can't say, listen, I know that this is my week to go home.
Wait, you can. Thorgy did and they aired it.
But they make you look insane. It's not that they make you look insane, but addressing the format of the show doesn't fit the story of the show. So it makes you seem like you're paranoid or you're just having like delusions or you're being really hard on yourself. But I think she was seeing the writing on the wall and she's like, okay, well, these critiques aren't going well. I know how this is going to go and I'm upset about it. And so... Yeah. People telling you to lighten up and stop being hard on yourself when you know how it's going is, you know, it's a hard place to be on, especially when you have eight cameras on.
Yeah, it's like stepping in pink elephant shit, but the elephant will always jump behind the camera and never show itself, but you will step in the shit on the camera for sure.
Yeah. Let's take a break and step in some more elephant shit.
Mm.
It's Jackie. Mean and bitter, covered in glitter. Yes, it's Jackie. Miss Beat if you're nasty. She'll rip off your head and spit down your throat.
If she's feeling hateful, sit down and be grateful. The odds are 10 to 1.
Gabe's going to be disappointed that you forgot some words there.
We're singing the Jackie Beat, Jackie's the World's Biggest Bitch theme song, which check out Jackie Beat on Instagram. She's always putting out fresh, amazing content. But we're talking about the other Jackie Cox.
Jackie Cox. The Canada jokes did not land for the judges, they said. And they treaded lightly about it because Muslim LGBTQ representation is incredibly important. And they have a vulnerable conversation with Jeff Goldblum about that. Do you want to be Jeff or do you want to be Jackie?
I'll be Jeff.
Okay.
So, Jackie, I couldn't help but notice that isn't it offensive that isn't there, how do I say this, isn't there people in countries that are in the Middle East that do not like gay things? Am I being offensive by saying this? Twitter was saying, yes, you are being offensive. But I
didn't think it was offensive. I think it was something that a lot of people were thinking, including me, and I don't think often. So for me to think that, like, it had to happen to other people too.
Yeah, and he was being inquisitive about it. I don't think he was, because
the same way he was asking Gigi where her balls go. You know, he's a straight man in a new world. He wants to know. He's like, wait, why are you wearing that though? You know, I understand his questions, and yeah. I want to know: did she have on hair under there?
Oh, I bet she did.
She better had a bus driver on.
Gilda. I bet she had a full ass Gilda, a long hair.
I hope it was long lace that was uncut. Big long uncut lace.
I think it had a statement, and
Me too.
It was a statement that she wanted to make on the show.
And it's important.
It is important. And I know that some people are saying that the hijab is a tool of oppressing women, but then there are also women who really enjoy modesty and who find it empowering and find it like to be something that they really love, and they don't feel oppressed by it. They find it as a point of empowerment. So I wasn't offended by it.
Me neither.
And I also wasn't offended by Jeff Goldblum's, you know, sort of curiosity about it, because it is sort of like a touchy, like, all around subject. You have Jackie, who is of Persian descent, but is not practicing the religion that she's wearing the religious garment, but she's representing for people from this region in the world. And then it's like people in this region of the world are very oppressed when it comes to like gay stuff. So it's very like there's like 100 issues all just sort of like going around. And of course, there's going to be conversation about it. That was why she did it.
And we could host a weekend summit about this and charge people $49 a day to get in, only provide hot dogs, and we still wouldn't solve it. You know, there's going to be lots of opinions.
Exactly. There's also a nice parallel in the show to Crystal talking about being close with her family, even though they voted for Trump, mm-hmm. and Jackie talking about how she still wants to support Muslim women, and the hijab can be considered an oppressive garment.
Yeah.
So they draw nice parallels there in the story producing.
It's all very touchy, but I mean, the conversation happens, and that's, you know, that's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm. The conversation continues with Gigi, and her outfit is perfect, and the judges are living for it. But her lack of political prowess in the challenge showed a little bit. They intoned.
And her lack of dick was very confusing. I liked her answer. I liked her answer, which was,
get your fucking mind off my genitals in the nicest way. That's what she said, it felt like.
Yeah, but it was also like, that's a conversation we can't have right now, like on TV.
No, they need to pay for that. If they want to talk to you about dirty stuff, if they're going to talk off your ear with dirty chat on the phone, start the clock. That's when the appointment starts.
It was a good answer, and I appreciate her for that. Jada says her platform was confusion. She wanted to shine a light on wishy-washy politicians being dumb, and they love her outfit.
This is one of those outfits where you're like, oh, I love it. How am I going to pee in it?
It's she's strapped in from the shoe that with the stirrup that goes attached to the fucking shoe and the fucking shoulder. It's exquisite.
She better have a catheter under that wig or something.
Yeah. I think that she was more just like in the moment and off the cuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it worked for her in the challenge too.
I think the funniest thing that I've seen in a while is RuPaul saying, shut it off, when Michelle tries to chime in about something. And then it goes back and then she says, shut it off.
Shut it off.
It was the same tone that RuPaul said to me, you're going off script. Just like, just basic,
so
direct,
good.
Not looking at anybody, just her line. Her eyes are already on the teleprompter of what she has to say next. And she's ready.
So good.
She does not want to hear Michelle. She says, shut it off.
Very funny. Michelle's a good sport.
It gave
too.
Me life, yeah. So the safe girls this week are deemed to be Sherry, Heidi, Crystal, and Gigi, with mm-hmm. Jada being the winner, which is her second win for the season, correct?
Yes. Rightfully so. She is drag excellence at its finest. The bottom two are Widow Von Du and Jackie Cox. And they lip sync to Firework by Katy Perry.
Which I love. Jackie,
do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
Only when Milk does this song. Have you ever seen Milk do this song?
Yes.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag? Like a plastic bag? Like a plastic bag? Do you ever feel like a plastic
bag?
It's great. Shout out to Milk.
She's covered in plastic bags, right? Her garment is always plastic bags.
I don't know what drag queen would dare wear plastic bags as a garment. That is insane.
That's so
upsetting. Girls will do anything to get attention.
I'm just kidding.
Does it even have smell guard?
Scented garbage bags. You don't have to wear perfume or deodorant. So Jackie is doing some more humorous stuff toward the beginning, and then she takes it more serious and emotional toward the end. Widow is being very heartfelt and standing and delivering intensity the whole time.
I feel like she was at 10 the whole time, Widow, and the song starts off a little, like, remember how Britta's Let It Go? I felt like she was given too much too early, like her mouth was open, like unhinged, like how a hippo unhinges their jaw. Like, I feel like Widow had a little bit too much fire for the firework at the start. You know, you got to let that fire work, and then you get the fireworks.
Yeah. And Jackie had some stunts. She had some reveals. She had some development. And you know what? It was very close. But Widow Von Du is sent to the house. And she and Jeff Goldblum are brought to tears.
Yeah, he's crying. Weeping.
Yeah.
A weeping Goldblum. So Jackie Cox wins and Widow is sent home.
Yeah. Would you like to indulge us in a section we call
One Line
from Untucked?
Sure. I will take this entry from Crystal Method. Okay, hi everybody. It's me, Crystal. I'm in the top and I want to win.
I love that. And good vocal impression.
Thanks.
I would like to intone Widow Von Du, who says, I'm either dressed for an inauguration or dressed for an assassination. So we will see.
Why not both?
Poignant words.
Any wild conjecture for next week's makeover episode?
Well,
is Courtney Conkers going to be on it?
That would be amazing because they're making over Drag Race super fans, which is so fun.
Which is, I'm thinking that they have some AFAB girls and some AFAB Queens?
Please, please, yes, from the looks of it.
That would be wonderful. I wonder if they have any trans fans. Because that rhymes, too. And we know Rue loves rhyming.
Right, yeah. I don't know. We can only wait and see. But I do know from personal experience that the makeover episode is often where we can see some upsets. Because, you know, sometimes the girls who are turning it the whole season, this is their moment to be in the bottom. A la, you know, Raja on season 3 in the makeover challenge. Alaska on All Stars 2 on the makeover challenge. So I think it might be, we might see some of the girls who have been dominating, we might see them struggle. That's my conjecture.
Okay.
Should we commit airtime to the phenomenon known as Secret Celebrity Drag Race?
I think we should, because I also have another title explanation. So for Secret Celebrity Drag Race, they're saying it that way because if you're a real fan of the show, you'll keep this a secret. Because don't let it spoil RuPaul's Drag Race for you. This is not a good show thus far. And people were disappointed online. I did a little watch along. And they were not being friendly. Everybody has some time on their hands to complain right now. And I don't think this was... I just don't think this was a conscious social decision for them to make, of just throwing new people on the show who normally wouldn't be on the show when they still aren't letting people on the show who should be on the show on. And like to have Nico be the one spouting stuff for the Transgender Law Center when we could actually just get a transgender person on the show, or a couple, a baker's dozen. I just think that would be so much more... What's it called when you have your finger on the pulse and you're like doing stuff that's like appropriate and like, what's the word I'm looking for? That, like, it just doesn't feel like, it feels like ill-timed and daft and like I'll think of the word.
And okay, I'm going to start with what I do like
about
Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
I like that my friends are working. How about that? Even the ones that they didn't credit, like Chanel, Layla, and, who else did makeup? Chanel, Layla, and...
Did Mayhem do?
Mayhem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why they didn't get a credit.
I thought there were some laughs, and...
The commercials were good?
There were some laughs. I mean, watching three people who have never done drag or aren't really drag artists, seeing them like have to try this out under a time crunch and like fail at it miserably, there was something very hilarious and affirming about that, because it shows that like drag is an art that takes a long time to master and to become good at. It's also like a sisterhood, and it's sort of like a rite of passage to pursue it and learn how to do things like make your body and make your face and dress yourself and to do all these things. That's like part of what we go through as a sisterhood, and showing that like it's not easy and that not just anybody can just throw this shit on and do it. That's satisfying and affirming to me. Do I think that we need an hour and a half long show to get mileage out of that? I don't. I think if we want to do a fun little romp and raise some money for charity, that's great. But to wedge it right in between the show that everybody came for, the main course, which is Drag Race and Untucked, those of us who watch it, to wedge it right in between is, I mean, it was a little tortured. And I feel like the fan base was feeling that.
They're probably my explanation of that from a business standpoint for World of Wonder, smart move, because they kept their viewers tuned in for an extra 90 minutes. I'm sure the advertisers were happy with the numbers and things, and it was smart for them. But do they continue to show that they don't give a fuck about what their audience actually thinks, including our wishes that they're more inclusive in casting and that they get actual celebrities for Celebrity Drag Race? That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want like a fucking, you know, a Melanie Griffith, just like, I want Melanie Griffith on it. I want like
Les Money.
Yeah, hell yeah. I want who else do I want on it?
Basic.
I want Henry Golding from Crazy Rich Asians because he's fine. And then I want Kenyon Lionsdale because he's fine too.
Okay. Well, it could be though. I mean, these sorts of things where you're drawing in celebrities from other places, they sort of have to start somewhere. And so it's sort of like The Masked Singer, like over three seasons, the stars that they have been able to pull have been bigger and bigger because people have seen that the show is a hit. They've seen what it is. And so they're able to get bigger names.
Well, honey. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. I also really thought Trixie and Bob and Monet were very funny.
They were the saving grace of the show, honestly.
They put the Queen Supreme front and center because they are so funny. They did a great job.
Yeah.
And so, wait. I saw some stuff online that was, and you mentioned them, but the queens were put into drag by
other girls,
other queens who weren't shown at all.
Yeah, Layla was there, Mayhem was there, and Chanel was there. And Chanel just keeps getting, I mean, I don't want to speak on Chanel's behalf, but it seems to me that Chanel's been giving the raw end of the deal with World of Wonder years and years worth, but she... You know,
but they hired her to come in and do makeup.
A gig is a gig.
For TV.
And also about these stars that they got, I do know for a fact, because I have friends that have told me that they turned it down because World of Wonder would not guarantee that they wouldn't end up with the queen that they didn't like. They wouldn't let them know, like, oh, you can't say no to this girl. And one of my friends in particular was like, no, I'm not letting them pair me with someone I don't like. I don't want to work with someone like that. Who knows, you know? And... I would think that they would be a little more amenable to someone's request, especially since this is fake. And, you know, if you're going by the word celebrity and there's contestants on Drag Race with more followers than you and it's their season, that means I don't know if you're a celebrity when the unknowns actually competing for the prize have more followers than you. Not that I want to be one of those people that qualifies people by followers, but you know, I think it was weak. It was a weak show.
Well,
and I'll never be on it.
As far as, so just to clear this up, were Mayhem, Chanel, and Layla listed in the credits as like makeup consultants or something like that?
Mayhem posted like her government name in the credits as like a consulting producer, but
great.
The Chanel post on Instagram made it seem like they were all filmed doing the makeup, and Chanel was like, "We got cut out of the show." But that you sort of can't guarantee what's gonna make the show.
And here's another thing: I mean, if they were gonna try to submit this for whatever. It's properly crediting people. They're not consulting producers. They're makeup artists and vanity department on the show. The reason they're considered that is because they don't want to like, they're a union show from what I know, from what I understand now. And you can't have that many people, you know, they can't be paying for union dues for all these girls that they want to paint. I just don't understand how they work, and maybe I never will, but like it's constantly befuddling and perplexing. So at least we have something to talk about on this podcast.
Well, before we wrap up this section, as far as like the meat of that show, I thought it was going to go to one of the other two girls as far as who won the prize. I thought Nico looked so breathtaking on the runway. And whoever did her face deserves an Emmy. I mean, she was breathtaking. And not everyone can carry off drag well. So it's a credit to Nico as well. But whoever put her ass together deserves a mucho salute.
I saw her... I saw her leaving the building with a ventilator. That's how breathtaking she was.
Oh my God. That is dark, bitch.
She said, I'm taking this. I'm going to take all the breath. But she was plucked. She didn't win, though. Did you? I mean,
yes, because she should have been. First of all, I mean, she's the only fucking
queer person.
She's the only queer person on the stage.
Well, so, I mean, if she did her research, she'll know that RuPaul's Drag Race does not care about fucking over queer people and their stories.
Oh my gosh! But also, Jermaine as Kevina Hart was so strong and so funny, and also looked astonishing on the runway.
And he put Rue in his name, you know, Babykins LaRue.
Yeah. So, like, I thought it was for sure going to go to Kevina Hart. I thought for sure. But, you know, Jordan came in and at the end and snatched it.
She put Rue in her name. She gonna win.
Yeah. And you know what? $30 went to cystic fibrosis.
$30,000.
What did I say?
$30.
Very Lee Dawson of you. $30. They're really throwing the money around.
Girl, stop telling them our rates.
But Jermaine and Nico also won $10,000 for their charities.
What a wonderful stipend.
I don't know. Sound off. Send us a letter. What you think about Secret Celebrity Drag Race? Should we continue to review it? Does it deserve its own season on Race Chaser? My vote is no. my vote is: do we have to keep watching this for the next 3 weeks? We'll see.
We get to watch it.
Okay.
Making it free on VH1.com, then sure, but I don't want to buy it.
Great. I will watch it for the Queen Supreme, and I'm excited to see who else is on. I think Alyssa's going to pop up at some point. And she,
Monique Hart, Miss Vanjie.
Isn't Trinity on there at some point, too?
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch these queens take a dump in the street. Like,
ooh,
so
this might be the first time we see Trinity's new nose, too. Every 3 years,
girl, I think she leases her nose because she trades it in every year and gets a new one.
Damn. Thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser this week. We promise to continue to provide you with award-winning content as long as awards keep happening in this state of the world.
T.
Yeah, I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And you can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is and subscribe to make sure you know when each new episode is coming out Wednesdays and Fridays.
You can follow the Divas and the Dolls at Willem at the only Alaska 5000. And Race Chaser Podcast is at Race Chaser Pod on Instagram.
And if you use the hashtag Race Chaser when you post, we won't ignore you. We will see you. And you can send us a DM or an email at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Until next time, secret celebrities. Bye.
Bye, secrets.
Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.